Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, November 7th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Ben Maiasato is one of six candidates for Sitka Tribe of Alaska Tribal Council. He just finished a two-year term as tribal vice chairman and is running for re-election. Maiasato wants the council to focus on tribal finances and take into account the possibility of another government shutdown. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
There are two things that Ben Maiasato says he's known for in Sitka. Walking everywhere.
I do walk a lot here in town. I used to walk the dogs.
And his common sense.
We are the product of our parents, and my dad was a real common sense, quiet individual.
Maiasato is also a product of Sitka. He was born here in 1963 and graduated from Sitka High. The Sitka that shaped him has two governments, and he has served both.
I served as liaison from the tribal council to the city assembly meetings, and that's the part I like, is that the cooperation is that we get a chance to interact together at each other's council meetings and assembly meetings.
He is finishing up a two-year term as STA Tribal Council Vice Chairman and in October was elected to the City of Sitka Assembly. Maiasato says that it is unusual to serve on both Tribal Council and City Assembly simultaneously. He feels that he is in a strategic and unique position to help achieve one of his primary goals.
My first time running 2 years ago, I came out with a very simple philosophy, is that I would do what's right for Sitka Tribe of Alaska and do what's right for its tribal citizens.
He says that communication between the STA and Sitka's municipal government helps effectively address the needs of tribal citizens, one of which is protecting the subsistence lifestyle.
Council does support our subsistence users in regards to the commercial fishery, and that's the part, is that it's in the state constitution that subsistence users are supposed to come first.
A big part of this is protecting the subsistence herring fishery in Sitka. Maiasato says overfishing through commercial fishing practices is always a threat to the herring life cycle.
And this is the last fishery in Southeast Alaska. There is that possibility that there will never, ever be another herring fishery. And you got to look at it in terms of decades. There used to be openings in Juneau. There used to be openings in other parts of Southeast Alaska. Those fisheries are gone. If you have a bad year where they catch everything, it takes several years for it to catch up.
While Tribal Council Vice Chairman, Maiasato served on the Herring Committee and many others. He says it's important to make sure the tribe has a voice on issues important to tribal citizens without necessarily pushing an agenda.
You become a better council member when you rotate on what committee you serve on, because you learn more about those committees and about our tribal citizens' needs.
If reelected, Maiasato is most concerned about managing tribal resources, made difficult by sequestration and the recent government shutdown.
That's a big challenge for this election cycle, is how are you going to manage if there is another government shutdown? That herring is almost like a symbol. This is our subsistence lifestyle. You know, don't mess with our subsistence lifestyle. If we have a government shutdown, we won't have our resource protection to look out for our tribal citizens' needs. Our resource protection department to go out there and set branches for our tribal citizens, it is a greatly appreciated thing, and especially for the elders.
When Maiasato first ran for council, he just wanted to act in the best interest of tribal citizens. With experience, he has come to understand where the council has fallen short. That is, preparing for tough financial times. After feeling the effects of the most recent government shutdown, Maiasato's priorities for another term are clear.
Top priorities, we're going to have to look at how we can spend less and still provide the same service that we are continuing to provide to our tribal citizens.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Ben Maiasato is on the ballot with Stephanie Edenshaw, Thomas Gamble, Louise Brady, and Lawrence Woody Whitmark. Harvey Kitka is running as a write-in candidate. Visit Chitkaquan Nakahiti between now and Election Day on November 12th to cast your vote. Next year's Southeast Alaska pink salmon harvest could come in at less than a quarter of this year's record catch. That's according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which just released its forecast for a 2014 catch of 22 million pink salmon. As Matt Lichtenstein reports, the prediction fits the relatively recent trend of smaller pink catches in even years and much bigger catches in odd years.
The 22 million pink salmon prediction for next year contrasts sharply with the catch of around 94 million pinks in 2013. However, according to Fish and Game research biologist Andy Piston, 22 million is in the average range historically.
That's average over the last 50 years. So it's for recent years, it's actually quite a bit below average. But our point estimate is for a harvest of 22 million with an 80% confidence interval of 8 to 36 million fish. And the recent 10-year average harvest is 41 million, but that 22 million is pretty close to the average harvest over the last five even years.
Fish and Game's annual pink salmon predictions have been fairly close in recent years, with the exception of this past season. The department expected an excellent run, but the 54 million fish forecast was about 40 million fish short. Pink salmon have a distinct two-year life cycle after they hatch and spend a year in freshwater. The juvenile fish head out to sea. A year later, they return as adults to their native streams, where they spawn and die. So the effects of a bad parent year will show up 2 years later. Piston says pink returns in the 1990s and the early 2000s were good in both odd and even years. That changed in 2006.
So that's when we saw our pink salmon that went out to sea in 2005 had really poor survival rates. And that was a year, in 2005, there was really anomalous warm conditions out in the Gulf. There was a lot of predators in the Gulf that aren't normally here, like Humboldt squid, blue sharks, some other species they were seeing off the coast. And so those fish had really poor survivals in the, for pink salmon, because the odd and even years are completely segregated from one another. This kind of sent us into this even odd year cycle we've seen. So we've had weak even year returns since 2006.
Piston says the forecast is put together in a couple of steps. First, researchers look at past even year trends to forecast an even year run and odd year trends to predict catches for an odd year. Then they adjust it using data from an annual trawl survey of outgoing juvenile pink salmon, which is conducted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Icy and Chatham Straits.
The beauty of this these pink salmon trawls they do is it just simply captures the abundance of pink salmon when they're leaving the inside waters. So by that time, most of the, you know, the major mortalities happen, because the mortality rate's really high for salmon when they, you know, first emerge from the gravel, when they're in fresh water, and when they first hit the marine environment. So that's, you know, the general reason why these catches of juvenile pinks generally correlates really well with the return of adults the next year, and it simplifies the whole forecasting process to some degree.
In past years, the NOAA data has resulted in changes to Fish and Game's prediction, but Piston says it had relatively little impact on the numbers for 2014. NOAA is still working to complete its own pink salmon forecast by later this month. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Over its 17-year run, Sitka's Whale Fest has evolved from a tourist event into a research and cultural conference on a wide range of Arctic and marine mammal issues. Blatchley Middle School student reporters Ella Lubin, Lily Hood, and Kaya Gleason attended several of the Whale Fest floor sessions and met with the presenters and their audience. The trio sent this audio postcard.
I'm Rebecca Himshute.
What are you most excited about Whale Fest for this year?
I think the gift of Whale Fest for me is that I get to be a learner. So instead of trying to be the teacher, I'm the learner, and it's fabulous.
My name's Ashwin, and I'm a fisheries researcher with the Sitka Sound Science Center.
What are you most excited about Whale Fest for this year?
The talks. Really cool topic. Very relevant topic.
Hello, my name is Levi Danielson. Well, I really like the narwhal talk. It was amazing.
My name is Phil Clapham. I direct the whale research program at the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle, Washington. Actually, the thing I'm looking forward to most is two things. One, it's been talking with students like you guys. And number two, it's the concert with Don Cinetti, who was an old friend of mine, who was a wonderful, wonderful singer.
Hi, my name's Michael Castellini. I am the dean for the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, which is just a fancy name for the principal of the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I've been working on this, on the Whale Fest, for 15 years. And so it's always fun every year to see more and more projects, more and more students your age doing more and more things, and bringing in interesting speakers that work with the people and the students and the community.
Is there anything specific you hope to see this year?
This year, because we have the film festival, that was a new component to it, and we have more students in the classes too.
My name is Yulia Ivashenka, and I'm originally from Russia. My main topic right now I'm working is Soviet whaling and recovering the exact catches that was done at that time, and talking a little bit of history of Soviet whaling. I actually enjoy hearing all the new information, because it's never that you know everything about whales, and it's a lot of new things. And it's very personal and very comfortable environment here. People are so friendly. You feel like you're coming to see your family.
So. My name is Don Cinetti. I illustrate books about whales, and I sing sea shanties and whaling ballads at Mystic Seaport Museum in Mystic, Connecticut.
My full name is John Craighead George, but I go by Craig George, and I live in Barrow, lived there a number of years, 35 years, and I have been to Whale Fest a number of times now. I love Sitka. It's a great place.
Cool.
And that is an audio postcard from KCAW student reporters Ella Lubin, Lily Hood, and Kaya Gleason from Sitka's Whale Fest last weekend. To hear this postcard again, with a slideshow, visit our website, kcaw.org. That's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for National Public Radio, and at 8:18,